Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, welcome. It is hour two, hourly with Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Very eventful day. And, you know, one by one, we're trying to get your questions answered on what happened on Saturday with respect to the terror attack at the Topps Friendly Markets on Jefferson Avenue. We spoke with Paul Cambria yesterday about certain aspects of the case, and with James and Max Tresman today about an issue that has been on my mind very heavily since finding out that this monster had made threats against his school. The first thought I had was, well, why was he even in possession of a firearm, and how was he even allowed to buy additional firearms? I also thought the day and a half mental evaluation for somebody who had made threats was a little bit on the quick side. When somebody is making threats and is ordered to undergo a mental evaluation, somebody, I'm afraid, has made a major mistake, and that's an understatement. Unfortunately, one of the problems, and again, I don't know what the diagnosis is going to be, but one of the problems with psychopaths and sociopaths is they can turn on the charm and they can act normal when they need to do it. If you doubt what I'm saying, consider, those of you with Netflix, consider the Bundy tapes. You know, especially some of the younger women watch the Bundy tapes, and first words out of their mouth is, oh my God, he is so hot. Well, that is why women ended up dead. He basically was a good-looking man. He was very well-spoken, and a psychopath is able to turn on the charm when needed, as is a sociopath. Now, somebody who is paranoid schizophrenic, they're a little easier, I suspect, to detect. I want to, again, dedicate this program to the people who died on Saturday. I had occasion last night to speak with the friend of an individual who is still in the hospital, who will require multiple surgeries on his leg. But the people who were murdered, gunned down by a monster on Saturday: Roberta Drury, 32, of Buffalo; Margus Morrison, 52, Buffalo; Andre McNeil, 53, Auburn, New York; Lieutenant Aaron Salter, 55, Lockport; Geraldine Talley, 62, Buffalo; Celestine Cheney, 65, Buffalo; Hayward Patterson, 67, Buffalo; Catherine Massey, 72, Buffalo; Pearlie Young, 77, Buffalo; Ruth Whitfield, 86, Buffalo. Those were the human beings whose lives were ended and whose families are simply never going to be the same. When you lose, I'm sure that many of you have had this happen. If you're on this earth long enough, it's going to happen. Some people unfortunately experience this when they're children. But if you're in a situation where somebody dies suddenly, abruptly, without warning, motor vehicle accident, possibly sudden heart attack, nobody saw it coming, it is particularly devastating because you've had no time at all to prepare. When somebody is ill for a while, you mentally build up what will need to be done when the time comes. And when the time comes, it often does not come as a surprise. You have the opportunity to slowly ease into grieving your loved one. But when someone you love is taken from you in a deliberate act of terrorism, a deliberate act, a decision made by somebody else, I cannot even fathom the anger and the grief that you are going through. It was not only unexpected, not only did you not have a chance to slowly ease into grief, you were thrown into it, and it was all because of the deliberate act of somebody else. And I just, I find that so hard to comprehend. So to all of those people and the people who love them, whose names I read and I will read again today, and I'm sure I will read again tomorrow, just my deepest, most heartfelt condolences. I hope that, well, they said by Wednesday, the bodies might be released by the medical examiner. And my friends, I had a similar situation in terms of having to wait for remains. And I'm not in any way, shape, or form comparing it to what you are going through, although it was a sudden death and the duration we had to wait was not as long. To some small degree, I can empathize with the waiting just prolonging the pain and deepening the pain because you want to have the homecoming. You want to give the honor to that person you love. But as we talked about yesterday, this is a criminal case that is going to be under the microscope, literally and figuratively. And the medical examiner and those forensic reports are going to be such important parts of the record the prosecution will use against the suspect in this situation. So every single person has to be documented thoroughly so that there are absolutely no questions. There's no shadow of a doubt as to what happened. And when you're talking about 10 people who died under such horrible circumstances, it takes time. But the grief that you are going through with the waiting, I wish all of us, those of you listening, I wish we could all make a magic wand and just get that waiting, that anticipation of being on hold and trying to figure out when everybody's going to be able to get together. I wish I could make that go away for you. I wish I could make this whole thing go away for you. I'll tell you, I don't know how you guys are doing with this. I'm still processing it. I was not at the scene, but was on the air on Saturday starting at, was it 4 o'clock? And I don't know if this is normal or not. I don't think it's terribly abnormal, but I have found myself, and believe it or not, you know, with a few exceptions when I get a little bit angry at people, I'm not dangerously angry, just a little bit, you know, miffed. We'll say miffed. I'm a pretty steady guy. It takes a lot to throw me off of my game, off of my rhythm of life. And I don't know if you're going through the same thing. I mean, people I know lost people. People I know have people still, a person I know has a person still in the hospital because of the acts of this monster, but nobody I directly knew, okay? But the whole madness of this has me in a state of being very, very restless. I'd like to know how you're processing this and what your reaction is to it, because I literally awakened at 3 o'clock in the morning and I was not able to get back to sleep. It was tossing and turning, and all I could think about was all of the thousands of human beings who have been acutely devastated because it is an intensely personal story to them. And then the having to wait in order to make the arrangements and know exactly when your loved one is going to come home is just beyond words. So I still have that hollow feeling that I told you about, and restless. I would definitely say restless. Just unable to find a consistent place of mental comfort, if you understand what I'm saying. How are you guys dealing with this? Because of anything I've ever had to cover in 41 years of doing this, this story as a professional, but more as a human being, has affected me more than anything I've had to do locally. 9/11 was absolutely horrible nationally, the worst. I hope I never obviously have to do that or this again. But in terms of local situations, I don't think I have ever been so affected by something that I've had to cover where I didn't actually know the person. The Mike Rosman, Herm Kuhn helicopter crash, that was very, very difficult, but that was also an accident. This was deliberate, and that's what's keeping me awake at night, knowing that somebody deliberately did this. I want your take on how you're handling this, and if any of those emotions are running through your mind. I've got a whole bunch of things I want to talk about today, but let me take your telephone calls. 803-0930, *930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's get to the calls. 803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. And am I ready to, can I go to line two, Josh? Okay, I don't know. Our phones are doing some weird things lately. Here is Kyle in Amherst. Kyle, welcome, my friend. You're on WBEN.
So, you know, I'm listening to you, and you know, tears almost came to my eye because there's so much emotion over the last few days. Just even with my own son, who's an eighth grader, who was scared to death to go to school.
Well, my friend, Kyle, can I ask you, I hate to be a pain, is it possible to get off a speaker safely so I can hear your voice better?
Sure, Kyle.
I don't want to get you in trouble with the law. That happened once. A guy got a ticket talking to me.
No, we're okay.
All right, Kyle. All right, your son. This is an angle we need to talk about, because I've heard so many parents all over saying their kids don't even want to go to school.
Yeah, and it's tough because, you know, I try to keep the news off. But, you know, their phones and the text messages they get, and they see these posts. Things were okay until the afternoon post. And, you know, it's tough because, honestly, we're a black family. And so for him to see this, that was deliberately towards black people, and then you get these posts and all sorts of stuff, and, you know, the kids don't want to go to school. And And I'm an educator as well.
Are you, Kyle, are you talking about the posts that are the threatening posts, or are you talking about the trolling evil posts? Or both?
I guess both. He brings up things, and, you know, we try to talk about it like this is a normal, you know, this is a situation that normally doesn't happen. But, you know, the kids don't know what's going on. They just know someone came into our community and deliberately went after black people. And you try to protect them from the evil of the world. But what do you say? You know, one of my arguments today to get them to school was, okay, well, I'll drive you. I'll pick you up. I said, well, the president's coming in town. It's going to be one of the safest areas there is. I just don't know. I mean, I've been emotionally drained because I don't know really what to say other than just call it evil. But, you know, these kids today, I think they're becoming more desensitized because they're seeing so much of this stuff happening, in not just racial stuff, but all these mass shootings. You know, they're just so... You know, we didn't grow up like that. I never knew any mass shootings, and
they were around, but they are more prolific than they were when you and I were growing up. Assuming we're roughly, okay, I'm probably a lot older than you are, but you know, they do seem to be increasing in terms of frequency. But they've happened before. In 1949 in Camden, New Jersey, a guy killed, I think, 13 of his neighbors. The other guy climbed up to the tower at University of Texas, and he killed, I think, 17 people. And this was, you know, before the internet, social media, and all that kind of stuff. And I guess one of the questions I want to ask you, Kyle, is you remember when you were a teenager, and I'll steal a line from Morgan Freeman in Unforgiven. You remember when you were young and full of beans?
Yep.
Remember how you would get angry as a young man when you felt that an injustice had been done?
Yeah, and I've been thinking about that, how I was when I was younger, when I used to see stuff like that, I would be outraged.
Here's the question: how do we break the cycle of hatred and anger? Because especially with young men, their bodies are filled with testosterone. They're strong. They've got something to prove to the world, and an act has been committed against a certain group of our fellow human beings. And how do we make sure that somebody doesn't become a copycat? And how do we make sure that somebody doesn't act in anger out of revenge? Because you remember, like I said, you know what it was like to be young and filled with testosterone.
Well, that's what I'm scared of, because the younger group, you know, they... Depending, I mean, you may agree or disagree, but there's a certain sector in the black community that's just angry at the injustice just from the country and a lot of the racial hate groups throughout the decades in the country. You know, we still haven't labeled them a terrorist group, white supremacy. We see time and time again that there's been people out there specifically just to... forever their argument of people of color, you know, which I don't understand, because what do? We don't really have a lot of power and control in this country, but for some reason they always seem to go after the blacks and the people for saying we're taking over. I don't get that part, but well, the positive thing is a lot of us are growing up in mixed societies. When I went to school, it was either black or white. Now, a lot of these kids are growing up with Asian, Middle Easterners, you know, you name it. Their classrooms are very diverse.
Well, you know, I'm so glad that you brought that up. Hey, Kyle, do you want to stick around and talk a little bit more after the news? Because you and I have talked before, and I want to give you a little more time and just bounce some things off of you.
Yeah, not a problem.
Is that all right? Okay. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. My question to you right now is, how are you feeling? All right. And I know it might sound like a stupid question for a talk show host to ask, but, you know, I've talked to lawyers, I've talked to quote unquote experts off the air. But what I want to talk to, the people I want to talk to you right now would be you. And my confession is, if I had to describe myself in a word, it would be restless. Restless. And last night, I was part of the 3 a.m. club. It's very uncharacteristic of me to wake up at 3 and just not be able to get back to sleep. I read a book for the rest of the night, and I watched The Imitation Game again just to try to take my mind off of things. And, you know, I'm just I know people who were involved in this but did not lose anybody who was a direct member of the circle. But I grieve for other people, and I think what I want to address with Kyle is this a question of evil, which some argue is a spiritual concept, not based in reality, but based in mythology? Or is this a question of a loss and lack of empathy for other people? Ponder that. Let me give you the phone number, 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, friends, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN 338. And I wanted just a simple question, which under any other circumstance would be not really interesting. But I've heard a lot of people talking about this everywhere I go. I went out with my friend Bill Mason last night, and there we are, and two guys from who usually come at life from two different viewpoints. And we both were talking about how this affected us and why it affected us the way it did. And I think you would be inhuman not to. I want to go back to Kyle. Now, Kyle is an educator. He's got a young son who did not want to go to school today, which I know many of you parents are dealing with right now, and I'd like to hear from you as well. But, Kyle, I just want to bounce a couple of things off you. Number one, I said yesterday that I think that we need to take evil into account, and somebody sent me an email that I could actually read because it was big font. And said, look, evil is a mythological concept that was put forth by religion to make people feel bad that they were sinning. What you're really talking about here is a lack of empathy. People who simply cannot empathize or understand the pain or suffering of another human beings or those who love them. Have you a thought on where we place this on the continuum of what happened here?
Well, the religious side, which I grew up in a heavily religious family, will talk about evil in a different aspect. I don't know as far as the different sides of evil, but I will tell you this, something that I was touching on right before the break. At one point, Americans were either in the black community or white community. You know, we didn't have a lot of others in it. In the course of my life growing up, I was privileged to be exposed and hang out and get to know a lot of great white people. My family never talked negative about white people as far as the history goes. So I was kind of grew up in a non-racist mindset. I didn't know a lot until I got older and started experiencing things personally. But most of my, I wouldn't have white friends who were racist, but, you know, we all laugh about our similarities and our differences, but we all have the same type of passion. And that's just to have fun and get to know each other, regardless of race.
But, you know, I'm so glad you brought that up, because one of the things that's been driving me crazy with some, not all, but some of the politicians is they seem to be closing their eyes to what you and I see, Kyle, people of different races out socializing, clearly having fun and clearly bonded with each other. You know, when I started this, the school of thought with some people, some of our black brothers, the school of thought was, Tom, as a white man, you can never truly be friends with somebody who isn't white because you don't understand the struggle. And I have found that to be quite the opposite in my life, and I'm sure I'm not the only one either.
Yeah, I will agree. Most of my white friends may not get the struggle, but through communication with me, talking about some of the things that they weren't privy to or just didn't know, you know, we all, you know, it may have opened their eyes to see things a little bit differently, you know, but they all grew up, and some of them grew up in homes where parents did use the N-word. But because of their exposure to other black people, they tend to not see what their parents may have saw. And I just know going into my adulthood with kids, you know, we've always, first of all, we're a mixed family, so racism definitely would not exist in that in our house. But, you know, we've always tried to be positive and encourage our kids to be respectful of all races. But, you know, I think America, though, definitely is becoming more of a melting pot. I mean, most of us live in different communities. We work with different people, and a lot of us went off to college and were exposed to all different type of races. And so I tend to think more on the positive side that, you know, we're talking about a very small percent of those who feel that way. And a lot of them probably had no exposure to other groups, especially of color. And so the few that they got, either may it came from home. We don't know this particular person, how his home life was. But, you know, the encouraging factor is most of us are growing up in a mixed society. These kids today are in a mixed society.
Absolutely.
I mean, I just look at Amherst public schools. I mean, there's tons of races there. And so I just think as we educate our kids, and hopefully the mindset gets washed away from that old school mindset, you know, we're okay. You know, I
hope so. Hey, Kyle, I got to move on to some other folks. I'm really glad that you called in. Pleasure talking with you always, sir.
Have a good day.
You know, something hit me when Kyle was talking, just a brief aside, as far as recognizing the hurt that certain things can cause on people. And I've told this story before in the air, but it just seems so relevant right now. As many of you know who my best friend is. It's Booker. I mean, you know, everybody knows Booker. He's my best guy friend, all right? If Booker's somewhere, I'm usually within 50 feet of Booker, and we joke about it, you know? And we were at a Halloween party in downtown Buffalo, and we're sitting with Booker, and a dude walks in wearing blackface. There's thinking something logically, and there's feeling something emotionally. And what was a festive evening took a downturn because Booker, and I don't think I'm telling tales out of school, I've mentioned this before, Booker was so hurt by that. He's a jolly man. He's a great guy, or he wouldn't be what he is to me. And the look of, it wasn't anger. It wasn't hatred. Booker's not like that. He's a loving person. And he was saddened by it. We were all saddened by it. We left where we were, and we went somewhere where we couldn't see him. And you know what? Before that happened, logically, I could understand. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's not cool to wear blackface. I can understand it. But actually seeing what it does to someone you love on an emotional level, it does absolutely change your perspective. And I can't be the only one. No matter what you look like, I'm sure, you know, you get to be a certain age, and if you've got any bit of hate in your heart, you gotta question yourself, because there shouldn't be any of that stuff. Let's get back to the calls. Who's next? It is Bruce in Amherst. Bruce, welcome. You are on WBEN.
Hey, Tom. You know, you were asking how do we feel?
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I've been watching the news, keeping my eye on the news, and it every time I'm watching it, it just brings tears to my eyes. I mean, I'm snotting and crying, and I'm almost there just talking about this right now. But it really bothers me a lot. I'm hurt. I'm broke up. Only person, I mean, I didn't know any of the victims that were deceased. But I did grow up with Garnell Whitfield. Mm. Went to grammar school and high school together. And, you know, I haven't seen him in many years, but I saw a speech, you know, that he gave on television yesterday, and it really broke me up as well. I mean, this man was pleading for help, and you could see his pain. You could hear his pain. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, you know, if people would just speak to one another, just what's wrong with saying hello? You know, this would tear down a lot of barriers of, you know, I don't know you, or you don't know me. But what's wrong with saying hello? What's wrong with a friendly smile and a wave?
Absolutely, absolutely nothing. And, you know, again, I folks, I don't live in a world, and you know, Bruce, I don't live in a world of rainbows and unicorns and lollipops. But, you know, the experiences that I've had in my life, I can't tell you the number of times one of my black brothers and sisters has held the door open for me, delaying their own progress out to the gas pump. I can't count the number of courtesies that have been extended to me with a smile, you know, and I try to do the same thing, because it's just little things like that can be helpful, especially if you're not having a particularly good day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was a paramedic in the late 70s all the way to the mid 80s sometime. And, you know, I saw a lot. And I just feel like maybe Maybe I've grown to be just overly sensitive. I don't know.
You know what? I honestly think what it is, Bruce, is I think you, by virtue of what you did, you have a tremendous capacity for empathy, and you want to help human suffering. And when somebody comes along and intentionally causes human suffering, not just of the people he killed, but the thousands of people who are in acute grief and pain right now, people like you and me, and hopefully 99.999% of the people listening, we have empathy, and it eats us alive.
Yeah, yeah.
I thank you kindly, Bruce. Hang in there. And I appreciate you calling.
Okay, thank you, Tom.
Yeah, thanks. No, thank you. And folks, I'm just asking you a real simple question. How are you doing? What is your mood? What is your state? I haven't seen as much as David Bellavia has seen in life, but I'm not exactly a babe in the woods either. I've seen some pretty gruesome stuff. And what we experienced as a community. And I'm so glad that Kyle called in to say, you know, it's not like this black versus white and we live in our little enclaves. You know, go out. Walk down the street of the village, walk down Main Street in the village of Williamsville some night and peek into Creekview and Brightsmith and Irishman and Glen Park Tavern. And you're going to see people who look different than each other. But they're having fun, and they're genuinely friends. You can tell there's a bond, there's a connection, and that's my reality. And I say I'm a proud American nationalist, not a white nationalist, but an American nationalist, because, you know, we've got something really terrific here, and I can't stand the people who try to divide for no other reason but to. They must get something out of it or want to get something out of it, but I don't get it, and I guess I'm glad I don't entirely understand it. Folks, under any other circumstance, I'd get complaints about this topic. Tom, what are you doing? But it's real simple right now, and I'm asking you how you are doing. And I'm not embarrassed, nor am I looking for praise, for saying I have not been myself since Saturday. I have been restless. On Sunday, I told you, I didn't know if I wanted to be home, go out, then I'd go out, I gotta go home, I'm home, I gotta go out. Last night, woke up 3 a.m, up the rest of the night. And I could only do 2.5 hours on Saturday. It was that intense and disturbing, and I knew some information that I didn't and could not release at that time, which was also weighing very heavily. Let's go to Ron in West Seneca. Hey, Ron, you're on WBEN. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Tom, how are you, my friend? I know how you are. You don't have to explain. I know how you're doing. So I'm sorry.
Probably the same as everybody else.
Well, you know, Tom, I mean, I'm kind of desensitized to this, and I may be one of the few that are going to say this. I'm doing actually quite well. It's not because I don't have feelings. It's just because this is something that's a reoccurring event, and I think the system has failed the 10 people. Let's just say the 10 victims right now failed them because this man was under evaluation, and he was allowed to exit the hospital. Now, therefore, it failed him also. So I think that we need, like you said, to look at our mental health system, because you get a lot of these politicians that are talking about gun control, and that's the first thing they shoot for, Tom, when they want to pull those emotional tug-of-war strings and we're the puppets. We need to talk about not gun control, but how about maybe starting with gun safety? Also,
I think you're on the right track with mental illness, because politicians talk a good game about mental illness, and yet mental health programs are typically some of the least funded in the entire health system.
Yeah. And, you know, Tom, he was a lethal cocktail that he was ready to explode, and no one caught this. It's been reported. His school reported this. His classmates did this reporting, and the media is exploiting this for gun control, And they fail to mention something that we haven't talked about, gun safety. When you and I are going to school, Tom, we got our hunting license at 14 years old. We knew guns were dangerous if put in the wrong hands, or if you were to shoot, right, point the gun at someone. You never point a gun at someone regardless. You know, you always treat a gun as it's loaded. And, you know,
see, I'm going to continue this with you after the news because you held on a long time. But I don't hunt because I don't have it in me to shoot an animal, even though I'm not a vegetarian. But I'm an absolute stickler at the range for gun safety. And I will thank one-time police academy instructor and now clergyman Ernie Green. Ernie Green taught me how to shoot. He taught me how to be safe with a firearm. And if I'm a good shot, well, if I can see again, it's all because of Ernie Green. Just great respect for the man, great respect for his firearms training. Hold on, because I want to talk more with you, Ron. If you're just joining us, folks, thank you very much for being here, my friends. We're talking about a real simple question. How are you processing everything from Saturday? And to put it in perspective, if you're 35 years old, I've been doing this 6 years longer than you've been alive. I've covered all sorts of tragedies, local and national. And on a local level, this has gotten to me more even than 3407, because this was a deliberate and preventable and evil terror attack. And thousands of people are in deep pain. That's what's made me very restless ever since Saturday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.